Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Steve. It's 2:39 on WGN. This is John Williams. Steve, you don't want to share with the whole class, do you, a moment that your mom patted you on the back and made it all better?
Every moment, John.
Yeah. I told the story the other day, and my wife said, I never heard that story. I was standing in line to get an ice cream when the ice cream truck came by. I was in third or fourth grade. David Cook, maybe it was Billy Killian, one of them were doing a sleepover. It was really exciting because I was having a sleepover. And then we heard the sound of the ice cream truck. And I said, holy cow, the ice cream truck is here. And I said, Mom, can we have some money for some ice cream? And she gave me some money. And I went tearing out of the house before the ice cream truck got away. And I ran out there and I got our couple of ice creams. And then as I was walking away from getting my ice cream out the side of the truck, the ice cream slipped and fell and spilled. And as I went to retrieve it, my shirt came up over my behind and everybody saw my underwear, which may or may not have had Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble on it. And everybody laughed.
Did they each have their own cheek?
And that really stung. I'm past it now, Steve, so don't worry. You can make silly little jokes, but at the time it
hurt.
I was just curious. So then I kind of ran off without my ice cream, but stains of chocolate on my Suck 'em Up t-shirt. And maybe or maybe not on my Barney Rubble side of my underwear. And I got home and Mom said, what's the matter? Where's the ice cream? And I explained it to her. And I wish I remembered exactly what Mom said, but she was not going to get emotional about this. She was cool, calm, confident. She was on task. She cleaned me up. She wiped my tears. It's kind of embarrassing because Billy Killian is standing there going, what's this all about? And then she went out and got some ice cream and saved the day. Mom made it better. We're asking you what your mom made it better stories are at 312-981-7200. And we're reading some of them on the air. And one of you that texts in will get tickets to see My Fair Lady. It's 241. This is WGN. I'm John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. Ro Khan comes your way a little later on. Did you see Mary Mitchell's column? She wrote, it took a lot of courage for Alderman Raymond Lopez in the 15th to say what he did after gang warfare broke out on his ward, leaving 11 people shot, 3 fatally, and 2 police officers wounded. Speaking at a rally held after the violent attacks, Lopez said publicly what most of us secretly think, quote, I'm thankful today that no innocent lives were lost, the first time Alderman told the crowd. She said that was courageous. Other people say it was questionable. Alderman Lopez is on a phone line and joins us now on WGN. Welcome to the program, Raymond. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to join you.
What did you mean by that?
I meant exactly what I said, that after the day's shootings, no innocent lives were lost that day. There was no 12-year-old playing basketball gunned down in crossfire. There was no man simply walking home from work gunned down for being in the wrong spot at the wrong time. These were gang members. These were people who were committed to terrorizing our communities, who were turning to social media to taunt other gang members to come find them. These were gang members who were setting up gang memorials with gang paraphernalia dressed in gang colors to antagonize their opposition. These are people who are committed to working against the very fabrics of our society. By no stretch are they innocent, and that's exactly what I meant.
You were not at any of the shootings. You didn't exactly see how they went down, though, did you?
No. The first shooting on Sunday took place at 4:30 in the morning. The memorial shooting took place about 12 hours later, but I was notified by both by CPD when they took place.
So 4:30 that afternoon, they're doing what they do, putting up candles or flowers or whatever. And can you tell me what happened then? I mean, how did the shooting go down?
So it's my understanding that approximately 10 individuals, half of them known, identified, documented gang members, as well as their affiliates, were gathering at a location just east of 46th Place in Rockwell to set up candles and a little memorial in honor of their fallen associate who had passed 12 hours earlier. At that point, it's my understanding that individuals came from around the alley. Two individuals masked carrying assault weapons, we believe were AR-15s, and unloaded fire on the group as it was standing there. Two of them were shot and killed on site, and the rest were wounded but survived their shooting.
So while people were injured, two people lost their lives in that drive-by homicide. And about the victims, you say no innocent lives were lost.
Yes. One of the individuals that was shot was a documented known gang member. The other individual, his sister, I believe, was obviously affiliated with him and his group and his associates.
Is that a sentence that you said spontaneously, or had you been thinking along those lines for a while?
John, I've been to enough of these events in my community to know that the first thing that I usually ask is who was shot and were any innocent people shot. I have seen time and again in my communities, in my ward, which spans from West Englewood to Back of the Yards to Brighton Park to Gage Park, I have seen many times where people who are just going about their business, the truly innocent in these shootings, are gunned down.
Yeah.
And my first question was, were these gang members or were these innocent bystanders? So for me to say that no innocent lives were lost, it was very much a correct assertion. It was not a slip of the tongue, and it was exactly the truth for that day.
What has happened since?
Obviously, my comments have either been supported by people throughout the city or met with strong opposition, particularly by those who are gang-affiliated, gang sympathizers, or apologists for the crimes in our community. CPD received credible threats against me and my office on Monday. We were unaware that these threats had been ascertained because they were received internally through their various mechanisms. And we've had additional police presence both in my office and in my home as a result of those threats made by gang members.
I've read that you said you don't regret having said what you said and that you're not going to be cowed. But boy, are you worried at all about your safety now as a result of that?
Well, obviously, John, I would be less than human if I didn't say there was some concern for me and my family. However, that concern for my family, just because of this one threat, is symbolic of the threats that my families and my communities deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
My communities are under siege by these gangs who have no remorse, no compunction about who they're going to shoot, where they're going to shoot next, and who might get killed in the process. I've had gangs shoot and kill people on the steps of churches. I've had them kill people in basketball courts or just walking down the street. These are the real everyday fears that my residents have to live with. And for as trying as this may be for me personally, for me and my family, this highlights for the entire city what residents in some communities have to deal with on a daily basis. And whether people agree with my comments or not, side with me or not, or like me or not, we are finally having the kind of discussions in this city that we should have had long ago about what innocence is, what violence is, and what is acceptable in our communities as ways of life. And gang life is not acceptable.
No, I get that. And, you know, listen, I think you're speaking some serious truths here that we haven't heard before. But I also think it's kind of a perilous path you're carving, because innocence, I think for most of us, means you weren't firing first. You're just standing there. You have no reason to be murdered. You are innocent of any reason to be shot as you're standing there at that memorial. In that moment, you do not deserve to die. And if somebody comes up and kills you, you're innocent unless you were firing first, unless you were committing some sort of crime. And
I understand that that's what some people view as innocence. But let me be extremely clear on this point. I did not say that they deserve to die. I just simply said they weren't innocent. There's a difference, because when you are contributing to the deterioration of your own community by selling drugs, by recruiting 12, 13, 14-year-olds to hold guns, when you are adding to the overall delinquency and degradation of our communities, you are not innocent. And though you might not be doing anything at that exact moment, you are still guilty of leading a lifestyle that endangers everyone, that attracts elements that bring with them weapons of war and retaliation and no empathy for what is going on in the community. That makes you guilty.
One of the family members said, that was my family member there. These aren't stray dogs. And they didn't like the association that you're sort of drawing there.
Well, I don't know where her metaphor came from. I've never referred to these individuals, the deceased, as dogs or animals or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people get caught up in what they read on social media, and that repetitious lie sometimes takes hold. All I simply said was that no innocent lives were lost, and I left it at that. I did not disrespect the dead. I simply stated a matter of fact to the situation.
Yeah, okay. You know, one last thing about this, and then I'll let you go. On a phone line, Alderman Raymond Lopez from the 15th, after a spate of shootings and murders in his ward, said most recently no innocent lives were lost in the case of the gang members who were evidently assembling some sort of memorial. And around the corner comes some people with guns, shoots them, kills them. He says no innocent lives were lost. He said that was something to be thankful for that day. First time Alderman addressed a crowd, Mary Mitchell wrote about it and said, you set a powerful example. I think a lot of us, I was talking to friends about this today, Alderman, and I think this is not a problem the cops can fix or the journalists can fix or the mayor can fix. This has to come from within that community. Within your ward, people have to decide that this is it's not accomplishing anything. And until somehow, and I don't know how that happens, but until somehow these people decide to stop shooting, we will have shooting. I mean, that's not a very rosy expectation, but I just don't know how to address it.
Well, on two fronts, I think it's not, first off, John, it's not just an issue for my people. It's an issue for this entire city to grapple with, because violence on all levels is rising in all corners.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that fact, that you can't simply say that the violence that we see that's sometimes synonymous with my neighborhood is only in my neighborhoods. Second, I think that you are correct. You can't point the finger at your alderman or your mayor or your police and say, well, what are you going to do to fix this problem?
Yeah.
It is a collective. There's the collective answer we all have to be responsible for. And though it has taken decades to get to this point, we can still turn it around.
I hope so. Alderman, I'm short of time. It's 2:52, and I've got phone lines filled with people that want to comment on what you've said. Time for maybe just a quick call or two with Alderman Lopez. He is the first-term alderman in the 15th Ward who said that some of those lives lost the other day were not innocents. And it's sort of touched up a storm of support, among other things. Joe, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Alderman, first thing I want to say is I admire you completely. I agree with you 100%. There's innocent lives that are taken from us every single day because of people like that. And when you see gangbangers hanging out on a corner, they're not out there to do community service. They're out there looking for trouble most of the time, and they always seem to find it. Honestly, I think our laws are too lax for that type of crime. They should be termed as domestic terrorists and dealt with in the same process.
Yes. All right, Joe, you're a great call. I appreciate you joining us. Alderman, just a final comment from you.
I think that no matter what happens out of this discussion, it's about time that this city had a real, honest discussion amongst all its communities about the violence we're seeing. We can't make excuses for gangs. We can't make excuses for the choices people make. we can help those that want to be helped. We can help alleviate some of the supporting issues. But at the end of the day, people make a decision whether or not to wake up in the morning and shoot people.
Yeah.
We cannot be afraid to call them out for what they are. And that is not innocent.
Be strong and be safe, Alderman. Thank you for sharing your time with us. We're going to call you again. Let's have another conversation down the road.
Love to, John. Thank you.
Raymond Lopez in the 15th.